all depends on how you word it. Psalm 16 for our scripture reading this morning. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. I have no good beside you.' As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the promises that we have in this psalm. And we just ask this morning, as we spend some time studying this, I just pray that our hearts are opened, our minds are prepared, and that you will speak to us, and you will challenge us, and that you will make application of your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, continuing on in our series through the Psalms, Psalm 16. How many of you here know the name Bobby McFerrin? That ring a bell with anybody? Okay, all right. Bobby McFerrin wrote a song back in 1988 called "Don't Worry, Be Happy." All right, now, yeah, all right, we're all on the same page now. I know people that made those words basically their mantras. If something bad was happening, they would say to themselves or say to one another, "Don't worry, be happy." All right. And while it was a very popular song, spending 2 weeks at number one and many, many weeks within the top 100, the whole premise of the song just very casually states, "Don't worry, be happy." In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Someone came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. And while I do agree that worry gets us nowhere and rather just amplifies the problem, the song never really gives us a solution, okay? It never really tells us how to be happy, how to be glad, how in the midst of life's trials do we maintain a sense of joy. In reality, the message of the song, it's equivalent to saying, if you're dumb, don't worry, just be smart, right? If you're cold, don't worry, just be warm. And if you're sad, don't worry, just be happy instead. And the flaw of the song is that, again, it never really gives us a reason to be happy. Now, the world has a lot of solutions to sadness, and I found a list that named a couple. Here are three ways, worldly ways, they say that this is how you maintain happiness. They say, fake it until you're happy. All right? Basically, just pretend to be happy until you've fooled yourself into believing that you are. It's kind of what the song was saying, in a sense. Another one is, lower your expectations. And this is a real list, all right? If you're unhappy because your life isn't what you expected it to be, just lower your expectations a little bit. Be happy as a failure. Number three, go buy something for yourself. And that would be the perfect solution if your rent is late. Spend money that you don't have. Again, the problem with these worldly solutions is they all link happiness to circumstances. Okay, if you're not happy with your current circumstances, they say just change your circumstances. But there's a good chance that you won't be happy there either. And if you are, it's only going to last as long as the circumstance lasts. And therefore, in order to maintain it, every time another problem arises, we need to either keep faking it or keep lowering our expectations or keep buying stuff for ourselves. True happiness, true joy in the Bible is always grounded in something that is beyond our earthly circumstances. True happiness, true joy in the Bible is—it's not just a state of mind, but rather it is based in something that never changes, something that we can always count on, and very obviously that something is God. That something is God. Listen to a few passages from Philippians chapter 4. A few verses here. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say rejoice." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. "I rejoice in the Lord greatly," he says, Paul says, "for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And then 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." God is the only reason that a person can have true joy and happiness in this world. And in Psalm 16, we are told how. We are told how. How to have joy is our subject this morning. And the first way that we find is this: trust God with your existence. And that's a broad topic, but basically trust God with your whole life. Trust God with your existence. Several weeks ago in our Wednesday evening Bible study, we talked about progressivism. Progressivism in the governmental aspect is what actually leads then to socialism. And we demonstrated how the devil actually can use government to replace God. Now, most progressives are not even aware that that is happening, that that's being done. But I mentioned that years ago we had a young lady in our youth group, and she said that at her high school that they were being taught that the responsibility of the United States government was to protect and provide for the people. And right there, Satan's goal in that teaching is really to make the government replace God. People will begin trusting in the false god of government for their existence over and instead of trusting in the true and living God of the universe. They will look to the government for protection and provision rather than God. Well, I can assure you that if anyone trusts in any government at all, that government will let them down. All right, guaranteed that's going to happen. Even David, the king of Israel, the head of his government said, I'm trusting God. It's God who I'm going to trust in. I'm trusting in him for my protection. He's my protection. He's my provision. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, A Mitzvah of David, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. If you want to have joy, if you want to have happiness in this life, we have to trust God with our existence. Why? Well, the Lord is our protection. Some students of the Bible, in particular students of the Hebrew, believe that that word Mitzvah, as used in the title there, actually means inscribed in gold. Some students do. They believe it means inscribed in gold. In other words, this psalm may have been an inscription etched into a gold plaque somewhere in the kingdom, a statement of faith, a motto for all to see, so that all the kingdom could be reminded of whom they need to be trusting in. God. He's the one. The Lord is whom we must trust in. The Lord is our protection. And I think that may have been the exact reminder that our nation's leaders had in mind when In God We Trust was put on our gold, our currency. It's not about the government. It's about trusting in God. The Lord is our protection. Secondly, the Lord is our potentate. And that's kind of a fun word to say, but it's kind of a fancy word, and it's a Greek word that is actually used quite a bit in the New Testament about our Lord. And it means ruler, king, or master. Well, King David in this psalm is here saying in the middle of verse 2, You, God, are my king. You are my ruler. You are my master. You are my Lord. You, Master, the one that I am going to answer to. So the Lord is our protection. The Lord is our potentate. And then also, the Lord is our provision. And in verse 2 and 3, we find two things that our God provides. First of all, he provides our good character. The end of verse 2, David there says, he says, My goodness is nothing apart from you. The only reason that we can be good at all is because, good in character at all, is because our God makes us good. He provides, he empowers good character in us. Listen to Galatians 5:22-23. It says, But the fruit of the Spirit, that's talking about the Spirit of God who indwells every person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. It says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. My goodness is nothing apart from you, Lord. Nothing apart from you. So he provides our good character. And secondly, he provides our good companionship. Verse 3 says this, As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Contrary to a common misconception, a saint is not a special class of believer, all right? A saint is anyone who has placed his or her faith in God. So if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, according to the Bible, you are a saint. You're a saint. And right here in verse 3, we are told that we're not alone in this Christian existence, okay? We not only have God, but we also have one another. We are saints. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. David calls these saints, these brothers and sisters, his delight. I can't count how many times I have had my joy bolstered by you. That's something we can delight and rejoice in. We can trust God with our existence. He takes care of us. He protects and he provides. Verse 4 says this, "Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips." He says, many will trust in other things. Many will trust basically in anything at all but God. Even idols and even governments. He says, they are in a sad state that is only going to get sadder. So David says, I will not do what they do, nor will I even mention their names as something to be trusted in. The way to have joy, the way to have happiness, is by trusting God with our existence. Secondly, this morning, trust God with your estate. Trust God with your estate. That is the material blessings that God allows us to have and use. My land, my hope, and my home, and everything in it, that's considered my estate. Well, if we want to have joy in our life, we need to trust God with whatever, be it a lot or a little bit, whatever we have. As Israel came into the promised land after the Exodus from Egypt, each tribe of Jacob was allotted a portion of land, and it was an inheritance from God. Some tribes got large portions, some tribes got smaller portions, some received land that had lots of desert places, some received land that was very fertile. Some received land near the sea, and some received land that was considered very holy. And some, the tribe of Levi, didn't receive any land at all. Now, each family and each tribe had a choice. They could either be envious of what the others had, or they could rejoice in what God had given them, be it a lot or a little or nothing, all right? Philippians 4, 10 and 11, Paul says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, for I have learned in whatever estate I am to be content." How is it possible that we as believers can be content and even rejoice regardless of our material estate? Well, David gives us the answer. He says, the Lord is our portion. Look at verses 5 and 6. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. You see, he says, the Lord is our portion. Regardless of what we have or don't have materially, as believers in Christ, we all have the Lord. We all have Him. The Lord is our portion. He's the container of our portion. David calls Him His cup. Okay, and this refers to the fact that God is the one who can hold us together regardless of what estate we find ourselves in. He is the container of our portion, and He is the sustainer of our portion. David says, you maintain my lot. You, God, are the one who feeds me and protects me and cultivates me and nourishes me and corrects me. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, for by him, we're talking about Jesus Christ there. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and get this, in him all things consist. David rejoices, and he basically says to God, the life that you have given me, the estate that I find myself in, is a good one because of you. Because of you. We can trust God with our estate, whether it be a little or nothing at all, because the Lord is our portion. And the Lord is our prudence. Prudence is the careful quest for right choices. And David says that the Lord is his guide and his counsel in that. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. God's counsel, know this, it is always available. Always available. And David is rejoicing in the fact that God in his word is his guide concerning his estate, whether it be day or night or any time. God's counsel is always available, and God's counsel is always accurate. David says, I will seek God's will and counsel all the time. And with him as my guide, nothing will shake me. Another passage from Philippians 4:12 and 13. Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, for I have learned that in whatever estate I'm in, to be content. If you want joy, happiness in your life, trust God with your existence, trust God with your estate. And then lastly this morning, perhaps the best one of all, trust God with your eternity. Trust God with your eternity. There have been days in my life that have been difficult, and I'm guessing you have had those days as well. Work days that have had problems on top of problems, and work days that I thought, what else could possibly go wrong? And then it did, all right? And it's on days like that that I really appreciate my home and my wife. They're kind of a safe haven for me, a place where I can temporarily unload my burdens and take rest from the trials of life. The thing is, though, life goes on, okay? Problems occur the very next day. Trials continue through the weeks, the months, and the years. In fact, Romans 8:17 tells us that as heirs of God, we will suffer in this life. But in Romans 8:18, did I say 8:17 tells us we'll suffer? 8:18 says, Paul says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be happy. Have joy. I have overcome the world. In John 14:1-3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We can trust God with our eternity. Why? Well, the Lord is our rest. Verse 9 says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. No matter how difficult this life may be, we who have trusted in Christ have eternity to look forward to. We have heaven as our home, where all of our burdens will be permanently removed. This isn't a temporary thing, a temporary rest haven, okay? This is a permanent thing. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord is our rest, and the Lord is our resurrection. Look at verse 10. He says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now, in its common form, that word Sheol is an Old Testament word that refers to the grave. Sheol is a place where bodies become corrupt, a place of decay and decomposition. And right here in this verse, David is saying that God would not leave his soul there. David's body would decay, but he would not stay in the grave, but rather one day be resurrected. How do we know that that's what it's talking about? Well, the second half of verse 10 talks about the fact that God would not let his Holy One see corruption or decay. And this verse is actually a prophetic verse talking about Jesus Christ. Because 1,000 years later, in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm and tells us that the Holy One is Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't see corruption. His body did not decay because he arose from the grave on the third day in glory. And because he arose, those who trust in him will also arise. In John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Rejoice. The Lord is our resurrection. Though we may die physically, we will arise eternally. The Lord is our rest, the Lord is our resurrection, and of course, the Lord is our rejoicing. Verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Lord is our rejoicing. Rejoice in the path of life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 3:15, he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Rejoice in that path of life. Rejoice in the presence of God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Rejoice in the presence of God and rejoice in the pleasure of heaven. In Revelation 21:4, it says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There is something to look forward to. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to give us happiness. In fact, the secret to a happy life is the right partner. And while we can't apply that to our spouse, okay, obviously I'm talking about our eternal spouse, Jesus Christ. If you want joy in your life, God is the only way to truly have it. Trust Him with your existence. Trust Him with your estate. Trust Him with your eternity. And only then can we honestly say, don't worry, be happy. Psalm 144:15 says, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we are just very thankful for the joy and rejoicing truly that we can have in the words that we read right here. I thank you for once again showing us the heart of David, truly showing us even your own heart through his. And we thank you, Father, that we can trust you with our everything. Lord, I pray that the words that we find here would be etched upon our heart, so that as we leave here each day and each week and each year truly that passes, Lord, we can have joy and happiness regardless of our circumstances because of you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.